love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We're back. I'm back in the UK. Feels good to be back. Kedgy's here. You're UK.
Hello.
But Satch is still in the Dubai.
Hello.
Has he moved there? There's so many rumours flying. Satch has left the Brown Load. He's gone to Dubai now to move. Is he living there? Is he going to become like the CEO of Hairy Daddy? You know, what is that? What's going on? Why are you still out there?
Well, it's nothing to do with a hairy daddy, but I mean, do you know what? I leave it to Tommy because he kind of spent 2 days with me out here. Like, I know we had the Brown Load quiz, but do you know what? In a weird sort of way, it was nice that it was here. Gutted, KJ, you weren't here because it would have been nice for the three of us to be here. But he kind of saw my Dubai world in a weird sort of way.
I absolutely did. Let me tell you something. There's a different Satch. There's a shake Satch. Right?
Yeah.
I went over there, he had the full white robe. He had the whole outfit.
Because only locals are allowed to wear that uniform.
Right. Yeah. And people coming up, they're bringing babies to him. He was touching the baby, blessing him. He was giving Ashirwada for couples getting married. Yeah. I tell you what, I said to Satch. Firstly, Satch was because it's obviously him and his brother are based, his brother's based over there. So he's got, you go over so regularly. I mean, people who listen to this podcast will know that Satch is like, oh, I'm in Dubai next week is like the most common phrase on the Brown Load. But he is comfortable there, Kej. When he's walking around, he knows the roads, the cabs, even like, okay, firstly, I've got lots to say about the Dubai thing, but like even the flight, Satch booked my flight seats and all that. And then checked me in online, and he said, he goes, on the way out there, I think you should have the road to yourself. Yes, I did. I had the road to myself because of the way in which Satch booked it, the seat that he got me, put the seat in the middle, and then no one booked either side, and he knew the timing to do it. I love shit like that. I love it when you go to a shop and you go, no, you got to queue up on this side, or when you go Alton Towers, do this. When you get there, then you ask for the upgrade because that's when when they give it and get it. All those little tricks of life. Satch was down with it in Dubai, so he knew all the area. And then obviously I came in on, was it a night flight? So I was there in the morning
in
the hotel, had a little cheeky power nap, then he picked me up for lunch, and we went for lunch. And can I just say, I just had a lamb biryani on the plane. So I'd had a lamb Emirates lamb biryani. Emirates, whoever is cooking that food, I salute you. It was delicious. And then on the way back, by the way, I had the butter chicken on the plane.
Oh, how was that?
Was delicious. Ooh. Yeah. And I'm like, they've got their techers down. Emirates.
That's my meal on Thursday when I'm flying back, by the way.
Butter chicken. Brilliant. Mm. The butter chicken can't go wrong. What was the veggie option? I can't remember what it was now. I didn't even consider
just
it.
Just the butter.
Said butter chicken. Huh?
Just the butter.
Just the butter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Butter, no chicken.
Just a dicky of butter. That's it. And a spoon. Yeah. Go for it. It's good for your skin. But no, I had the munch. And then obviously, like, I hadn't really slept properly in the plane. I might have just paid for the business lounge access. It was a normal flight, but the lounge access. So I might have had 3 or 4 drinks and some snacks in the lounge before I got on the plane. And then an hour or two later, I had the lamb biryani. Then not really slept on the flight. I watched something. I can't remember. It'll come back to me in a minute. And then when I landed, checked in, had a little power nap. And then Satch goes, let's have lunch. I thought, oh my God, I feel like I've just eaten a minute ago. And then he took me to a place where we had the...
Al Beirut.
Okay. Well, Route Tera Mastana, because Beirut was hit the spot. We got there and I said, Satch, you know what? I ain't hungry, bro. I've eaten so much. Plus, my back was really hurting me from all the traveling and running around. It was hurting anyway. I said, you know what? I said, I'll probably just have a salad. The gluttonous Sandu came out. Got there. Oh, we had a falafel portion to share. We had the hummus with the breads. We got the fattoush salad, which was delicious. I'm sorry. Fattoush, there's something about it. It just hit with those little crispy bits that they had in it as well.
Mm. It's that pomegranate juice, mate, on the salad. That's what molasses does it.
Molasses.
That's it.
We had that. And then we had the mains, which was a mixed shawarma, chicken and lamb mixed jobby with the breads. I was like, what am I doing eating this, man? Then I went back and
You were the one that was like, I'm not going to eat. He goes, I'm going to come to the mall. He goes, I'm not going to eat anything. He goes, let's just walk around. And if we, you know, feel like eating something, then we just went full blown restaurant, sat down, ordered all this food.
But Ked, you might better appreciate this. Their hummus, bruv, it was like cream.
It's not the Tesco stuff, it's not the rubbish that you guys are all eating here.
No, it was velvet. It was velvet, proper hummus, lush, and you run your thing for it. Honestly, it was like ice cream, almost like that kind of soft ice cream texture. Yeah. So I had that, had all that, and then think, right, we're going to go back home and all that kind of stuff, right? Oh, well, I went back to the hotel, chilled out for a bit, and Satch goes, you know, meet up with my brother, come to my brother's house, come see the family, come do all that stuff, and obviously my back was hurting, so I got to Satch's brother's house, and I just lay on the floor. I was on his rug in the lounge, lying on the floor. And actually, can I tell you something? It was such a lovely, homely home, because it was, you know, they got the kids there, and it was nice to be on that side of Dubai to see the family side, because you whizzing out a place like Dubai and it's all like business and hotels or whatever it might be, but it was just nice. I just sat on his floor, laid out, stretched out my back, chit-chatting away, and I realized I was happy with that. My belly was already full, but then we went for another meal. Can I say, by the way, to all the people that were messaging me, I'm not Satch's little bitch. I want to make that very clear.
What do you mean?
Yeah, but it was like you'd book me for the weekend and I was there and I was getting all these messages going, oh, make sure Satch takes you there. Make sure Satch takes you there. I went, listen, I'll take myself where I want to take myself. I don't need no man.
I didn't want to take you anywhere. What do you mean?
Huh? Yeah, you did. Well, you did. You booked the lunches and you booked the dinners and you did take care of everything.
To be fair, I was going for lunch anyway. I was just seeing if you wanted to come.
Yeah, but whilst I might have felt like a little bit like Julia Roberts and he was my Richard Gere, right, in Pretty Woman, right? Like, I'm at his beck and call. There was no acts performed on the sofa. I just want to make that quite clear. But I got about 10 messages saying, oh, make sure you check out this place, a rugby place as well.
We didn't check out. I'll tell you why that happens, because every time everyone goes to Dubai, mostly Brownlow listeners will message me and be like, oh, what should I check out? Where should I go? Where should I go here for dinner? What about here? Should I check this out? Should I go here?
And
that's what it is. So I think the people know that, you know, if you're going to go to Dubai, hit me up because I will put you in touch to go somewhere nice.
Well, and then your brother and his business partner, Kiz, lovely guy, and Satch and myself, the four of us, then went for dinner, which felt like, Ked, like, about 2 hours after we just had lunch.
Lovely. Now, you went for a swim and everything in the middle of that, remember? We were sat outside.
I went for a swim and a sauna steam. And, well, that was my attempt to kind of do a bit of hajjaming. Hajjam. What do you call hajjam?
Digest. Digestion. Digest it.
Hajjam, I bet yours is.
No.
You don't what know? Oh, Kedge, look at that.
No, so I think it is. I think it is.
Yeah, kind of hajjam hogya? Like, yeah, is your food digested?
That's the word.
Butchigi.
Oh, butchigi. Yeah. Yeah, because I've heard bachdini, like it's not, like the food's still sitting there.
Doesn't digest.
Yeah. So that's a very, bachdini sounds like quite a Punjabi word, I'm just saying.
Sounds like, instead of kon nachdi, kon bachdini.
Balle bachdini, kon bachdini, shawa bachdini, shawarma bachdini. I got, the shawarma wasn't bachdini from the lunch. But anyway, I was like a soldier because I'm a team player, bro. I'm a team player, Kedge. I went for the mixed grill and we went to a place called Hashmi, and it was Dean Rav actually from Punjabi Hit Squad who messaged me and went, make sure Satch takes you and you know, we went past a lot of places. This place was live, like there was a buzz. It's where all the locals were, it's where all the were,
it's like being
the
in
mixed
India.
Grills were flying, the open kitchen, the sizzler, you see all the marinade on the paneer, the marinade on the chicken. It was like loads of like that kind of orangey yogurt-y marinade, and you know, they're grilling it all up, their sizzle smells coming out. Honestly, Hashmi gets my full endorsement. We had those fire prawns. My mouth filled with water again. These prawns, catch in this sauce. Forget the prawns. It was a tomato-y, spicy sauce. As I was having it, I thought, kanu pata lagnaya. This is going to make a reappearance tomorrow.
It didn't.
Oh. It's soft. Soft food out there, man.
Clean.
So, yeah. So that was it was a whole food, beautiful food, 24 hours. Mm.
And do you know what? We're walking into dinner, Kedge. This guy was like, do you know, I'm so full. We walked through the door. He smelt the aroma of the restaurant. And he goes, I'm hungry again. That's it. Yeah, I'm eating.
Exactly. It was great. You know, I'm very rarely do I get to kind of travel to abroad places. No wife, no kids, no nothing. So I'm like, yeah, you know what, screw it. I go into a bit of a food coma, I go back to the hotel, I'm only going to go sleep after this. I ain't got to put the kids down, sort their clothes out for tomorrow or anything, any of those kind of chores you got to do. So I'm just me, myself and I. And it was wicked. At the hotel that I was at, the sauna, steam room, swimming pool was on my floor. So I was living my best life. And I'll never forget, I just want to point out a couple of things I made a note of. I love that feeling when you first come out of the airport and the heat of Dubai hits you. It's just that, it's just everywhere. It's like the whole air is filled with like a warm candy floss. You know, like you could feel it all around your face and body. And it's that. But a lot of the taxi drivers are desi. My taxi driver drove like he was still in Karachi, drove like he was still in Lahore, Punjab, India, Pakistan, wherever he was from. Because he was running right up to people's chitter. And then going around him and beeping his horn. Actually, people weren't driving like that. And I'm like, no, you're wrong, mate. Yeah. You've brought desi vibes to Dubai. No one
else
is driving like this.
You're going to kill me.
Yeah. It was actually a little bit scary. But it was great. It was great. Great trip. But now, onto the quiz. So we did the quiz night. And honestly, lovely. It was sold out, packed. Loads of people that were all, well, everyone, 98%. Were all from the UK. So these are all Harrow, London, West London, East London, Leicester, Birmingham, Manchester, Wolverhampton.
Were they all holiday in there?
No. Working over there now. Living. These are converts. They've converted to the Dubai life. And you know what, bruv? I'm going to say it. This is my observation. They all looked well. Well off, well in their skin, well in their happiness, well in their energy levels. They're living a good life. And they're earning all their money. There's no tax. Honestly, I'm looking at them. I'm thinking, I think we made a mistake here. You know what? I looked at them like, they were like the new freshies. So the freshies obviously left, you know, my parents and that, left India, came to the UK, making money, you know, doing things over there. And you're like, and the people in India like, wow, what amazing life they live in the UK. I'm looking at the Dubai lot kind of going, you've left us in the bin. You've left us in the bin and you've come.
That's a good way of putting it, actually. The new freshies. So anyone I meet in Dubai now, that's from the UK, but like, you're a freshie.
Yeah, the fresh princes and princesses of Dubai.
I like
they
that.
Were, but look, so lovely crowd. Loads of people like coming up. Oh, we listen to on the radio. We love the brown load. Where's Kedge? We love the brown load. Where's Kedge? Is Kedge here? I went, no, it's just me and Satch. So you were missed, Kedge. And I'm going to say missed. It genuinely. And I'm very rarely am I nice about Kedge. So just please someone make a note of this. I said it today on this day. And that's it. I probably won't happen again. But I was like, you know, when you Satch is on the decks. I'm out on the floor. And I thought, if he was here, you'd be bopping around with me. You might have your drink with me.
Yeah.
You know, we don't go crazy on the drink. Just have a couple. Let's get into the vibe. And you would have loved it, Kedge. You would have loved it. We were in a Mexican restaurant. They were serving all these beautiful like tacos and spicy stuff. All the kind of, you know, the sangrias coming out with the salt around the glass and the heat's there. And it was just, I don't know. It was just a vibe. I really enjoyed it. And then what I will say about those Dubai lot, they are just itching to dance. So in between the rounds, when we did the quiz, Satch plays one tune, bang, everyone's up, dance floor's going. Then I've got to come back in like the kind of auntie, no, stop, sit back down.
That's difficult to manage, isn't it? That's difficult to control that.
Yeah. No, but they were cool. But they were looking at me like,
we had the quiz to get through, innit? What do you want me to do? But it was nice because, you know what, they were just happy like in terms of listening to the songs. And they were just getting up to dance because everyone was just in a good mood. It was nice.
And by the way, talking about having a quiz to get through, Kedge, I think if you were there, you wouldn't have told me off like Satch told me off. He told me off.
Oh, what did I do?
Oh.
You don't remember?
No.
Round one.
Yeah.
General knowledge.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know what you've done.
I've got it. Okay. I've got the questions on my phone.
Kedge, I think you'd tell him off as well for this.
Right. there's 10 questions for round one general knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Real general questions. We're just going through them. But the way it was on my phone, there was a page breaker because it was in a Word document on my phone. There was a page breaker after question 8. So I didn't move it on past the line to look that there was a 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Classic exam technique. I say it to Milo all the time. Make sure you look at the back of your exam paper. You know, make sure you understand the whole of the question. So, and I stopped at question 8. I went, right, done. You know, that round's done. Swap papers. Everyone swap papers with the table next to them so they start marking them. And as I looked up, Satch just looked at me. He was from behind the decks because he's playing little clips of music and things like that out. And he went, bruv, there's 2 more questions. There was 2 more questions. And I went, like that. And he went, forget it now. Just concentrate, will you? I was like, okay. So I got...
Focus,
that's it. Not concentrate. Focus, right? And that was... And you know when you feel like, man, I've had one drink. That is nothing to do with that. It's just because I'm stupid. Like, don't get it mixed up with that. But I'm like, I am focused. And then you're like, okay. And then I was going through the rounds. I'm checking everything. I'm looking ahead. I'm making sure I don't miss no music clips.
Clearly needed, innit?
But that was good. It was an early little lesson. Sometimes little you focus. Need a little early stumble.
Yeah.
And then we got for it. But Satch was a bit serious and telly-offy. Because he had a lot. He was, effectively, him and his brother and his mate were doing everything. The answer sheets, the scores, the bar, you know, the packages that they're selling of drinks and stuff are going down. And so, they're running around. What they don't need is the quiz host to go, oh, was there 2 more questions? I didn't realise, didn't it? So I had to then go, all right. Let me step up and just do my
bit. But it was fine. The rest of it all went well. It all went well.
And everyone in between the rounds were coming up and telling me all their memories of the radio show and the podcast. It was honestly, it was great. It was like home away from home. I want to genuinely thank anyone who was there because you made me feel, and us, me just was so welcome. So, your brother as well, Satch.
Sure,
it was just, it was amazing.
Well,
amazing.
I mean, you know, we're already looking at the next one. So, Kedge, you better have your diary handy.
Maybe we need to work Kedge into the format. Like, you know, there's an item number, like a Malaika.
I was going to say,
so he can come out.
He can do
all of the item number songs, and then everyone has to guess what
Malaika
the song
Aurora Kedge.
Nora, Fateh, belly Kedge. Dance, Kedge.
Eat your heart out.
Yeah. So that's what was going down over the weekend. And then can I do my little bit of like, it's been busier than it's ever been for me because I did a show the day before we went out. Then I went out on a night flight. Then we did the Dubai quiz. And then the quiz, I left the quiz at about 1:30 in the morning. And I was in a taxi at 6 a.m. So 2-3 hours sleep by the time I got back. And then came back, did 2 shows, one in Luton, one in Harrow. Harrow sold out. It's unbelievable with Richard Blackwood. Then another show on Sunday. And it's now Tuesday, we're recording this podcast. I'm still so achy. Literally, I've been going around kind of going, I'm too old for this now. That's it. I am too old for
working. You're not at all.
I feel it.
Never too old.
You feel the fatigue of it.
Never too old.
That's what's going over the weekend. But so I'm having a bit of a recovery week and then back on it at the end of the week. But what have you been doing then, Kedge, whilst we've been sunning ourselves in Dubai? And a few people have said, by the way, I've got a bit of colour. Topped up the tan from Thailand.
Obviously not as wild and exciting as you guys while you've been having the most gourmet food out in Dubai. I would say that I've had the worst salad that was probably available in Britain, actually. And I was shocked because I went...
You can't get a salad that wrong.
I mean,
well, that's I know. But it was just like... So I went to this place called Yoke. I don't know if you've heard of it. One of these sort of chain places.
Yo Sushi.
But Yoke. Y-O-L-K.
Oh, Yoke. Y-O-L-K. Under Yoke.
Yeah. So they do sandwiches. They do salads. Yeah, it's a bit... I was going to say bougie, but it's not that bougie. I mean,
it's one of these kind of modern breakfasty places. Brunchy places.
Yeah, brunch, lunch. It does all of that kind of stuff, right? And I always go for this. They do this like sort of bang bang mushroom sandwich, which is really nice, spicy, and it's £7. And I thought, you know what? I was going to order that actually. That's why I went there because that's the only thing I eat from there. But I saw the salad that was there.
Sorry, I need to know because it's what is in a bang bang?
A mushroom.
So it's like it's mushroom, but it's got like the some sort of slaw, which is like, you know, like that kind of like Szechuan flavour slaw and all of that kind of stuff. It is really nice.
You did shrooms and you banged slaws. Good. Okay, good.
So, but then I saw on the board above me that they've got this new salad. Right. And And it was like, oh, what's this salad? So I had a little look into it, read the ingredients, and it was known as a veggie romesco.
Italian-y salad. Okay.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
Is that what romesco? I think I've seen that.
Well, I've never heard of a romesco salad or sauce or whatever. Mm. But it said
So a picture of it up.
Yeah.
So the picture sold it to you, basically.
The picture sold it to me, and also what was also inside, I think it was the vegan romesco, but it was basically everything about it was just like, yeah, this looks good. I think I might just go for this because it's, you know, you're thinking salad, it's a big bowl, let's do it. My God, it was just a lot of lettuce leaves. It was just grains of quinoa at the bottom. The sauce, there was no sauce. There was charred broccoli in it as well, but there was about three bits of charred broccoli. There was about four pieces of red pepper, and that was it, and a few olives. And I thought it was so dry, and not even a horse would eat this.
That needs to be covered in like a creamy sort of Caesar-y style.
Yeah.
Did they forget, Kedge? Did you go back and ask them? Was there meant to be like a dressing
Honestly,
on this?
In my head, all I could see was me going in there and shouting, "This is the worst salad ever. No one buy it." And I thought, no, you can't do that.
But I mean, you know, if you think you're missing an ingredient, the dressing, you should have asked them about it, no?
Well, I think that this is the thing. I think there was dressing on it, but it was just not enough. Anyway, it's the worst one. So if you're a vegetarian or vegan, don't make that mistake. I just thought it's a public service announcement, just saving you £7.
You know what? This is dangerous though, right? Because the podcast gives us a space to go, there's shit. You know, like.
No, but we pick it up when it's great.
It's a vent. It's a vent because I love it because you go places and you go, you know, all you want is a nice, look, that salad could be amazing. Charred broccoli, loads of peppers, olives, maybe I'd put in bits of feta, some red onion, and then I'd drizzle it with a vinaigrette. That should have like a olive oil, sharp vinaigrette, and I'd have that kind of thing with over big lettuce leaves, you know, like nice big chunky leaves. Beautiful. Obviously,
it just didn't work. I think it's new on the menu. It didn't work. No. So, you know, back to the drawing board, lads. Anyway. That was the start of that day, but it ended better because I was invited to a press screening as well. So it was a press screening for this new film.
What Korean Filipino film was it?
No. This is actually an English film, and it's called The Salt Path.
Okay. Sounds great. I'll be honest. This is the week that Mission Impossible came out.
Yeah,
and when you said press screening, I thought wicked. I bet you went to Mission Impossible.
And Final Destination was last week, and Karate Kid's coming out in a couple of days as well. It's all happening,
right? So with all that going on,
what the hell is the South Park?
You went and saw Loon Lane. That's what you went and saw.
Loon Lane, basically with all the loons. So it's a memoir basically of this couple, true story, Gillian Anderson and Jason Isaac. They're a couple.
And we've lost Satch, ladies and gentlemen. We've lost Satch already.
Wait. Give me a chance. Yeah. So you know, it's the story of a couple who lose everything, their house, and they get kicked out. And the wife decides, I know what, let's go on a walk on the Salt Path, which is that whole sort of walk along the sort of coast of Cornwall. And they're just walking with literally no money and they're living in a tent.
Satch has been laughing all throughout Kedge's description quietly. I'm just pointing out to everybody at home while Kedge is going, you know, they've lost everything. Satch's shoulders are going up and down like Muttley in, you know, in Catch the Pigeon. Do something. He's just giggling away.
Yeah.
Okay. But so this is a kind of heartfelt film, Kedge.
It's a very emotional film. And, you know, it's like, it's not in the top 10 yet of the world box office. But it's not releasing until the 30th. So I've had, once again, for the Brownload people, I'm doing this so that, you know, they know what it's about. But it was a lovely film, 2 hours long. You know, you see the couple going through the trials and tribulations of not having a house and living in a tent and it's horrible and blah, blah, blah. A little bit long. Also, everyone in that press, I was the youngest person in that press screening. I think the average age of everyone in that press screening was 65 plus. Right. That's why I took my dad.
How did that come up? You went, hey dad, there's a really lovely film about a family that lose everything and just go looking for salt.
We saw the trailer actually earlier in the year and it was like, oh, that seems like a nice film, but Yeah, it was okay. It's a nice film, but maybe not. You'd have to go to the cinema to watch it. I think it's a good one to watch. You know, it was made by the BBC. So, you know, it could have just been a three-parter. To be fair, it could have been just a three-parter on Sunday night for the BBC. But Gillian Anderson is brilliant in it. So it is worth a watch for that.
Satch, what's your favourite film ever? Just a great film.
Oh.
Fast and Furious.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, right? How long is it? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Kedge has pointed out this was 2 hours long.
That means
he looked at his watch and thought, holy shit.
Should I tell you, there was no Kana Bagana in that because it was a small screening thing. So I'd hid popcorn in my bag and I had to eat popcorn so quietly and softly. It was so tragic. And he was like, my dad was drinking his milkshake on the sly as well. It was just like, it was very difficult to go to the cinema for 2 hours.
Did you not smuggle food in?
Oh, yeah.
But why didn't you just get it from there?
No, there was nothing there.
In the cinema?
No, it wasn't a cinema. It was like a screenings room things. You know, one of those posh little places.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, the media room. It's like having a cinema room at home.
That's it. If you did have a bit of
a glam sham room. Right.
Yeah, but you know, like while you guys were, you know, sort of double dating out in Dubai, I sort of found a double dater to date with on Friday as well, and so I found our brother Jags, and me and him were out on the balcony and we were working as well doing
out
events.
On the balcony. What were you doing out on the balcony?
Yeah, we were out on the work balcony, 14th floor above Central London.
Cleaning the windows.
No, Jags was DJing. And,
you dangling your bits over the edge of the balcony. Did you do that? Because
I don't know what Jags was doing. There was times where you did go missing.
Oh, big climax. I bet you know what I mean?
But the funny thing is people actually think his surname is Climax. That's hilarious.
Really? Who thinks that?
People at Virgin Radio think their surname is actually Climax.
Well, hello, Mr. Climax.
Yeah.
I put him down as Jags Climax. You know when you have to sign him in? I love it.
Yeah, really.
It was a live event, and it, you know what? It's a great space because we had the Kooks. I don't know if you're familiar with the Kooks, the band, but they were performing. That's a good impression. So they were playing live. It looks incredible. And you know what I was thinking, guys? I was thinking, maybe if I reckon I can get that spot, I reckon we should do something.
Here we go.
Like, I don't know, but
he wants to do.
In the Virgin building, Virgin Radio buildings.
Well, it's 40, the news broadcasting building.
The news building. So they do. There's lots of media out of there.
Yeah.
But which Virgin is part of? But you could get the balcony area on the 14th floor. Oh, because I saw the videos that you posted or Virgin had posted.
Yeah, the
of the Kooks, and the Kooks are great. And there was a big surge of people there. It was a lovely crowd. It was a sunny day. It did look amazing.
Yeah.
So that space, you're saying you should do a desi event up there.
He wants to do the highest garba in the world.
Oh no, but it's not. It's too long. Not you need a bit more space to do
we could have a long skinny one.
Oh, we could do a long skinny. Yeah. No, I was thinking more like a party rave. I don't know, something that we can do us three between us. You know, I think there's something there. Let's think. Let's chat offline. Shall we take that?
All right, fine.
We'll put it in the pile of ideas with like your garage brunch and all of that.
This one could be happening.
We'll put it at the top of it, the pile.
I tell you what though, Jack. Again, you know, we always said there's only two DJs that I trust, Jags and Satch. Jags, he just, you know, like some DJs just know how to read the room. He had everyone dancing like hooligans. Do you know, like it's incredible to have that power, but just everyone was going up and just like absolutely dancing like nutters.
Only Kedge would sell it like that. Oh, it's brilliant. Everybody was like hooligans. That's worst nightmare. Like everyone's like throwing pints everywhere. But that's the kind of music. It's kind of that fun, festival-y.
Well, no, because then he switched it and he was doing dancehall, he was doing garage, and everyone loved it.
Lovely. Okay. That's good. That's good.
So good weekend all round.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
While Kedra was sort of discovering a new salad that he didn't like, I discovered something new in Dubai while I was here this time as well. And I was actually telling Tommy about it, and he couldn't stop laughing because he was just like, what?
I went
to the barbers out here, and you know, I go quite regularly. I even showed Tommy. I was like, oh, there's my barber. We're in the mall. And this time I forgot my nose trimmer. To get, you know, to trim the nose hairs. I forgot it at home. So I was just like, oh man, what do I do? I'm at the barbers now.
Is this just accepted? Should everybody be trimming their nose hairs? I mean, do you do yours, Kedge?
If they're hanging out.
If they're hanging out, you have to, yeah.
But mine don't hang out. Like,
well, that's fine.
I've never done
one. Some people have hangers, some people don't.
Have I got a bald nose as well as a bald head inside?
Maybe we should inspect it.
Maybe. But, I mean, yeah. you should be having hair in your nose. Otherwise, it's like you're getting a lot of bequass in your thing, which probably explains why
And to be fair, do you know what? This is the I was like, what do I do? I ain't got a trimmer. I saw someone next to me getting, do you know, the wax thing done, Kedge? Where they put the wax up.
I didn't know about this.
With a cotton bud.
I've not actually seen it happen. I know people do.
Talk us through the process, Satch. What do they do?
So basically, I said to him, look, I need to. He was telling me, he goes, oh, do you want to do your nose, brother? And I was like, yeah, go on then. And he goes, oh, I wax it. I was like, okay, cool. Ooh. So then he came over with the hot wax. It was like in a little tub thing. And he was quite, because it was really hot. So he was really careful with it. He put it down. Then he got two cotton buds out and he started like wangling the wax on the cotton bud, and it was like sort of getting colder, so you know you can't obviously shove it up there when it's so hot, so it cooled down a bit, then they put it up both nostrils, couldn't breathe,
same time DP, so double penetration,
and to be fair, it wasn't just one cotton bud in it, so like the other side had two, so it's like a double cotton bud, and then he whacked it in, and then I was just like, I've never had this done, so I don't know what this is going to feel like, what's going to happen, is my nose going to fall off? Is he going to get stuck inside me? You know, all these questions going through your head. So I sat there and then he grabbed it and I was like, do you know, what would you do? I just had to brace and be like, oh, fine, it is what it is. Yank!
What? Oh, so it's sticking to your nose inside and yanks out.
Honestly, boys, the stuff that came out, what? Unbelievable. I swear I've lost stuff.
Out?
I've lost stuff up there. And do you know, it all came out.
Parts of your brain.
Incredible. And do you know what? So then I was just like, oh, I feel like I've got a new nose now, walking around, you know, the mall, and I was just like, oh, this is different. Brother, I could smell in 4K.
That's what he said. He goes, bruv, I could smell everything.
I was like, I've never been able to do that. Like, it's just.
I mean, I reckon there's a lot of men who probably get this done here in the UK.
Kedge, you need to do this. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, it's a game changer. I was like, I need to find someone who does it in the UK now, because that was, but my hole has got no hairs in it.
<He's> clean, honestly. He said, it was funny, because he goes, bruv, I could smell everything. You know, it was like Spider-Man, when Spider-Man gets his senses and he can hear everything, right? And it was like Satch senses, right? It's not Spidey senses, Satchy senses. And he was like, I can smell everything. I mean, it's almost like he was going, wait, shh, someone's in trouble. We gotta go rescue them. You know, it's like that. He became like a superhero. But that, and I think that's why we had all that food, because he was just like, yeah, that smells
I'm
great.
Telling you. I'm telling you, please, both of you, if you ever go to like the barbers or the whatever somewhere that does this, please give it a go, because I'm telling
it's
you,
it's making
it'll change
you
your
uncomfortable
life.
Just it'll thinking change
your
about
life.
It.
Yeah, nice. I mean, Kedge, you know, with you, we've got to put how much wax has got to go up your nose.
Yeah, that's true.
Pour the whole thing in like with the bucket.
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off, pull on.
And it won't be a cotton bud, it'll be a shovel that's going in there to pull it out.
Well, maybe.
Pogo stick.
But, guys.
I want to mention something that we briefly touched upon. Well, when you mentioned the BBC earlier, I wanted to just mention, because there's been big news of Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
And I thought it's only right, seeing as he's having to sort of step down from the BBC, which I can relate with, funnily enough.
I just
thought, you know, as football fans, what does that mean to you? Because I feel a certain kind of way about it. Of course I do. But Gary Lineker, if you don't know, you know, the broadcaster for Match of the Day, the England football legend, the Tottenham football legend, has been hosting Match of the Day. How many years has he been doing that?
About 15 forever. Years? Forever, yeah. Long
no, but Des Lynam has been doing it forever.
No. I think Gary Lineker's outdone him.
Oh, really?
I think so. Okay,
well, he stepped down because he reshared a post. And on that post, there was an emoji that was anti-Semitic. He has said he didn't see that emoji. He was sharing the post because it had some information on it or whatever it had, like about the story of what's going on with all the war conflict and Israel and everything else. And he was saying he reshared it for that information, but he didn't see the emoji. And for that, he regrets it. But then off the back of that, this is the bit I'm trying to get my head around. Off the back of an emoji, he's stepping down from his job where he's been for decades?
Well, I don't 25 know how years.
Huh? Mm.
25 years.
Yeah. 25 years. And I know, you know, there'll be people listening saying, no, Tommy, you don't realise that emoji represents this. I get it. I get what it represents.
For sure.
To some extent. And I'm not taking anything away from that. What I'm saying is, he didn't see it. He's saying he didn't see it. But, you know, but I think it's just interesting that a man's career comes to an end after everything he's done. You know, he scored that hat trick, you know, in the football. Did you watch the documentary with Amal Rajan and interviewing him about all of his views and all of that, right? So he did all those things. He had all those achievements. And obviously that documentary went out and he's been saying things like, you know, maybe the BBC don't want me there. Mm. And I can relate with that. You suddenly get this feeling like, oh, you want me to just go? I'm telling you, I don't think these things. I don't feel these things. I never said these things. Nope. They're just not having it. They've made their mind up. This is what you are. So I think he did, in a way, I'm going to say, he did what I wasn't willing to do. Step down. Because they said to me, step down. I said, why? I don't think I should. I haven't done anything. I haven't said anything. No one's offended. No one's complained. What's the issue? So it's a weird one to hear. And I think, and then literally I'm sitting here kind of shaking my head, rolling my eyes a little bit, kind of going, Gary Lineker's career at the BBC has ended over his thoughts, beliefs on political matters, and accidentally, in his opinion, sharing something which is a negative emoji. It's just, doesn't that feel a bit like technology? And even like for us, because I was thinking about this, going, you know, our careers ended at the BBC because of a WhatsApp group, a chitter chatter group. Something which is, you know, like if you look at
it was that someone had. The thing here is that the difference. Ours is even worse because it was someone went in and actively wanted to do a number.
Yeah.
Whereas the
screenshot in a private group, not public.
But what I'm saying is these are actions that the people are doing on their own in a public forum. So do you see what I mean? Like since we've left, there have been other people who have shared stuff which are way worse than what Gary Lineker have done from the Asian Network.
Yeah. Yeah.
And retweeted and carried on as normal, and no one's raised an eyebrow.
Yeah. But I really think there's a thing that if you get, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet here, but if you get to a certain height of career, then they'll come and get you. If you're not at that height, it doesn't matter.
Because if you're just Charlton Falcon, no one cares.
And I remember I said to the Daily Mail reporter, I said, I don't know why you're making a thing. I said, I've not said anything, and I'm not, you know, this is nothing really to do with me. And they went, I said, and who am I anyway? I said, I'm just an Asian broadcaster British Asian scene. She goes, well, you're a bit more than that. You're on the one. She knew my whole CV. You're on the one show. You're on Radio 2. I was like, oh, wow. So that's it. That's worthy.
Like, you know, I am actually quite a big deal, isn't I?
Yeah. We are a big deal. We have the most listened to Asian radio show in the country.
Yeah, no, of course. But you know what? Forget all about that. We're out in Dubai doing our own quiz night, and I'm sure Gary Lineker will be picked up by Sky. He'll be picked up by Sky, TNT, Amazon, one of these lot, and they'll be like, right, come and do a
quiz in Dubai.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Do you think, predictions, please, from you, football, you're more football people, Will Ian Wright and Alan Shearer go with him? Will it be like a bit like a Clarkson?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, they've got their own podcast anyway, which that's not related to the BBC, which is brilliant. So
that's that's some Shearer and Mika Richards. But I think knowing Wrighty, he's the kind of person that will stick by his mate, which is
a good thing. Have I told you that Ian Wright, sorry, because I was working with Ian Wright 20 odd years ago. I was making the music to a show called I'd Do Anything. You like this. I had to produce the theme music to the show. And the show is like, I'd Do Anything. You go on the show where you do something for your loved one. You do something like really nasty or horrible or scary or whatever, so that the other half or your friend or family member can have an amazing prize, reward or treat. So it's like you're sacrificing your own
fears. Remember that show.
Yeah. Right. And they wanted I'd Do Anything for You. Yeah. They wanted that remixed. And I did it on a garage vibe. It was like, I do.
Two-step.
It was a good little remix. But unfortunately, at the same time, Jay-Z had It's a Hard Not Live, which was a lot bigger. Anyway, so, but Ian said to me, and goes, Tommy, because I was about to start in media and radio. Mm. And he goes, but listen, if you're going to go on the radio, he goes, what are you even about? Like, make sure you stand for something. Make sure you say something. Make sure you hold your ground. And that was his advice 20 odd years ago. So I think there will be an exodus where everyone's movement
reshuffle.
For the people.
Reshuffle.
Yeah, they're gonna go watch.
Let's see.
Lots going on in TV land and BBC land and media land over here.
Lovely. And also over here in the UK, Tesco are making moves as well. And I think they might be infiltrating the Desi wedding space, because I think they've come up with a brilliant idea.
Desi what? They're doing catering. Sorting out mandaps? I don't know. What is it?
No. But they are setting up.
That's a good a value mandap. Everyday essentials mandap.
Oh, yeah. And then you get a club card deal on.
That is brilliant.
A pop-up mandap.
Like, yeah, you know, brilliant.
With a club card. Yeah, exactly.
Come on. I think Tesco's value mandap, because it's about £3,000 for one, so you might as well go and get the one for 30 quid.
Yeah, true.
And brilliant. So
if you want the discounted one on the club card, it's just blue, white and red. I mean, that's it. All right.
Perfect. Perfect. All right.
They're launching a wedding gift registry service. So this is now featuring items such as bin liners, toilet roll, because what they're saying is they found couples are preferring practical items rather than extravagant gifts. So what you can do is you can get a £63 Tesco Really Useful Stuff wedding gift package, which includes 5 packs of 12 rolls of their own luxury toilet paper. You've got 2 tubes of toothpaste. You've got kitchen towels. You've got antibacterial hand wash, shower products. All of that kind of stuff. You've got a £39 I Love Brew gift. It contains 6 months' worth of tea and biscuits.
Ooh.
I mean, this is incredible.
This feels like a bit like, what was the story that we did a few weeks ago about girls putting up like their wish list?
This is
a wedding list now.
Because wedding gift lists have been always existed, haven't they? John Lewis, you know, people have done it from John Lewis and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, fancy places, but you do a range from, say, a fiver to whatever, £100, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Tesco have got 6 of these bundles that are available. You know, you can use it as part of your wedding day. They've done a lot of research into it. And they said that, you know, 88% of newlyweds, they rather prefer practical gifts. And I just think, you know what? Brilliant. But again, as this is, you know, it's so expensive getting the masala dabba, right? With all the little bits in it. That is a really expensive gift. And I think they should add things like that into it as well.
Is it expensive?
Yeah, it's expensive, mate.
What?
Depends where you go. It depends where you go.
A really small one can be about 16, 17 quid.
Okay, like a nice one. Like a nice little steel one.
Yeah, but
one.
If you want a slightly bigger one, you're going into the 20, 30 quid, mate.
That's not really expensive, is it?
It is for what it is.
I'll tell you what they should do as well then, right? They should have the gift list on there.
Yeah.
And then, so not only do you buy the person presents, but you give them the club card points from that purchase as well.
Oh, that's a great shout. So club card points as well.
Get it. And then you can obviously convert it to air miles. That might go towards their honeymoon. You know,
we should be working for the marketing team for Tesco.
And not only that, by the way, if Tesco's really got onto the Asian wedding thing and know that it's a, you know, I forget how many billions it's worth, but the Asian wedding scene in the UK alone is definitely in the hundreds of millions. And I remember someone saying it's over £1 billion, or maybe that was the restaurant scene. But either way, big business. If they did that, imagine all that traffic going through Tesco's to get all your, like in the seasonal aisle, like you say. I mean, I'm trying to think. I only know Punjabi weddings. Like, you know, when you do the we do like a rangoli thing on the floor where, when you maya, you know, you do your you rub the yellow paste over you for your skin and all that. Do you do that as part of the wedding?
Haldi, right? Smack them on the face.
Yeah. So imagine, like, you can buy all the packs of powders from there.
Perfect. Right?
And you can buy the little fucky board thing that you sit on, and or maybe stencils. So or patterns
what you're saying, you want to turn Tesco into a Boppert store?
I think Boppert and Tesco need to join forces, basically.
Really? I'm sure they're on the
VB and Sons and Tesco, because this is the thing that they're not doing is we need to collab more.
Yeah.
But they don't want to collaborate with flipping Mr. Patel in his corner shop in Wembley, masala
dabas. The thing is, it's all well and good. Like, we all need toilet paper. I get that, right? But you know, where it comes to, like, say, you know, the gift, the £39 for the I Love Brew gift, which gives you tea and biscuits. That's all well and good. But actually, what we really need is we need chai masala, we need ginger, we need, do you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, you get the actual chai, the sort of container to cook the chai in. They need to do a mix and match of all the different bits and pieces together. And that's why Weeby and Sons and Tesco need to work together. I think Tesco need to work with the Desis. And they always forget us.
For your present, Kedge, or when it's your birthday, I'm gonna get you a gift card from Weeby and Sons if they have one. I don't think they do. I don't think they do, bruv.
Make it happen.
You know they've still got the old school till that you put the numbers in
with the receipt paper.
I don't think they've got the facility for a gift card.
The new
someone should make gift cards that are acceptable in all Asian stores. That is an idea. Yeah. That's universal to Asian stores.
You can use these on sesame snaps, your coriander, chilies.
But like all Asian restaurant shops have to accept this Desi Pindu card, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Pindu Express. I don't know.
They call it Amazon Fresh. So
yeah,
this could be Desi Fresh.
Yeah, Bunch of fresh.
There you go. Okay, ideas galore. I love it. But what have you learnt this week? What are your little wisdom bits of knowledge to share with the masses? Ooh. Can I go first? Because mine just happened just now.
Oh.
And that was, I actually went to go and get the car washed at 2:30. We've been recording this. We started recording at 3:00 this afternoon. Yeah. And I thought, 2:30. Have I got time to quickly clean the car? 15 minutes. Got there. Big line of cars. I was like, no, I'm not going to have time. But I do need to get the ad blue.
Ad blue. Yeah. what a palaver.
Right. Now, ad blue on my thing, it says replace urea. Right? So you know the ad blue thing. You know this is not the thing I learned, because I've known this for a while, so I'm sure we said this.
Replace urea.
U-R-E-A. Urea. Oh.
Not urea.
Urea is low when it's sagging, but urea is low. The ad blue is called urea. That's what it is.
It's got
urine in it. You know AdBlue?
Yeah, but that's why it's urea. Urea is the word for...
Oh. Because they're saying add piss.
Well, you know, part of it is piss. And I remember when I bought my car years ago, brand new, and it was like, this is the AdBlue. I didn't know what it was. I'm talking about 8, 9, 10 years ago. And I went, what's that? And he went, well, actually, it's pig piss. Right? And
they charge a lot of money for it as well.
Right? It's £25 for my 10 litres from a petrol station. Right? And there you go. Give me that as part of a wedding gift pack set, Tesco. So it's got piss in it because effectively that combination with whatever else goes into the ad blue makes the petrol more effective. It makes your car more economic. But that's not the thing I learned. I already knew that. I knew that for a couple of years. However, part two of that is I'm filling it up. But where I'm filling it up at my petrol pump, I've just put the petrol in, paid for it, got the ad blue, filling it up. Cars have come behind me, but they can't get around me now because I've taken up that, you know, it's quite narrow between the petrol pump and the pavement. Yeah. So they're just waiting. So I'm putting in the ad blue. And I did think for a minute, should I move my car out the way?
Absolutely should have. You're that irritating bloke.
But I'm not dossing. I'm putting in something. I'm doing
But still, you should have.
The space in front of me was used by the car wash that's done in the car park. So there wasn't really a space there. I'd have to probably go out, go round and park round the corner and then do it. But quite frankly, I wasn't willing to do that. I was like, no, I'm here. I'm putting my petrol, paying
this,
money.
This reminds me of when the guy goes in to pay for petrol at Tesco and then he's doing his shopping in there and he's left.
Yeah.
So you're waiting behind him and he's come out with he's come out with four bags of shopping. And it's like, bruv, you could have just moved your car to the side.
Move your car in it. Do you know what I mean? Come on.
So other people can use the pump.
That's different, but I'll be honest, I was a bit hesitant. I was unsure. Should I do it here? Should I not? Started doing it. Oh God. But while I'm filling it up, this massive 10 litre thing, it's going. It's pouring in slowly, like, and then it's pulling back, like it's not flowing. And I didn't understand the science. I'm like, why isn't this pouring
blockage
out of this big dubby through the nozzle into the car? Are you smirking because you already know the science now? Because I googled it.
I can't believe you didn't know this science, Tom.
Go on.
Got a bendy pipe, so you bend it to create less of an airlock, and then it pours. So I did 5 liters as wood.
My guy was never aged.
I'm looking around.
How annoyed are you, Tom, Satch, if you're behind him?
Right.
Honestly. Bro, I'd have put that pipe somewhere and it wouldn't have been in the nozzle.
And you wouldn't have bent it. It would have been straight. But it wasn't. How annoyed would you have been? How annoyed would you have been if you were one of the 5 cars that we're now building behind me?
Oh, my God.
So much so. Because I'm near the pavement side of the petrol pump.
The cars are pulling up
on the road, like, you know, on the pavement. They can't even get in because there's people waiting to get into my bit.
They were swearing at you.
No. I look around and I mouthed to the guy behind me. I went, I'm sorry. Like that. And he went, he mouthed back, don't worry. You know, like that.
Yeah.
And
I saw your nozzle. It was straight.
Yeah. Your bendy nozzle. Yeah. But then basically, and then as soon as I bent the nozzle, it just went. I was like, And then I googled it. And it said, basically, I'm not going to bore you with the science, but it's airlock stuff. And it stops, creates less of a vacuum and then allows the liquid to flow in. So if you've got to do your AdBlue, bend your nozzle. It flows in a lot easier. And I know you're going to go, you should have known that. You're like your typical patronising toxic men. I hate that shit, right? I reckon there's a lot of people that won't know that. So for those people, that's for you.
Okay, fine. My one is and this was a great one, actually. And I discovered it. It's to do with bell peppers or like, you know, you'll get your green peppers that are not the chilli ones. But
yeah, the big ones.
Yeah.
The ones you got in your Bosco Romosco salad.
Them ones, right? So the capsicum. I didn't know that. Next time, do this little experiment when you go into Tesco or wherever you buy your vegetables from, right?
Not Tesco's plug. You want a little back
end? I don't know. I wish I was. But the bottom of green peppers, they either grow with 3 lobes on the bottom or 4 lobes.
Oh, like the little...
The sections. If you turn them upside down, they either got 3 or 4.
Okay.
So the difference, there is a difference. If they've got 3 lobes... then they're going to be less sweet and they're better for cooking, like grilling and that kind of stuff. So maybe your if you're going to do it with your kebabs or whatever, it's that kind of one that you need, the 3 loaves one. But the 4 loaves one means that it's sweeter. So that's better for eating raw, like in salads.
Bro.
That's the difference.
I'd say that's one of the best ones you've ever done. I love that.
Honestly,
one.
I've been checking every single pepper I've been
getting.
You've
been bending peppers over and just checking them out from behind.
Bending them over to see how many lobes they've got, 3 or 4. Ooh, 3 for less sweet, 4 for sweet.
Yeah, sweet ones going in straight.
There we go. Give that a go.
So the three you cook with, grill with.
Yeah.
The 4 are sweeter, so better raw, you'll enjoy it more.
Better raw.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Lovely, I like that.
Love that. It's funny. Better be right, Kedge.
That better be right.
If that's nonsense, I'll be so upset.
It's right.
That is big. That is big news for all people like me who love cooking.
Exactly. There you go. That's why I'm saying, because for people we love cooking, we are going to love this.
Kedger's got his pepper out and I'm going to get my kebab out. Because the thing I learned this week is about, Tommy, the shami kebab. What's a shami kebab? Oh, you know what it is?
Shami kebab.
It's not a sheet kebab. But the shami kebab is like grounded sort of. Meat. Yeah, mince. So it's not like your actual mince that's like you get in a sheet kebab, where it's a bit more sort of textured and, do you know what I mean? Like a bit harder. Yeah. The reason why the shami kebab was invented is because of a king in Lucknow. A king in Lucknow had a toothache. So the chef goes, he loves his kebabs. That's the only way he's going to be able to do it. Grind up the meat and make a shami kebab.
Ah.
Brilliant.
The king's name was Shami?
No, it was just called that, but he couldn't eat a regular kebab.
The king had a bit of a lisp, and he was telling the chef how tasty it was. He goes, "Oh, this is shummy. This is shummy for me. Shummy kebab. Oh, shummy, shummy."
That's brilliant. The shummy kebab came because of a flipping toothache. Brilliant.
Wow.
Love to, because that's like the Earl of Sandwich. That's why they call it a sandwich, because the Earl of Sandwich was playing cards with his mates, and he used to get out breads and meats and stuff. But because they were playing cards, he just slapped the meat between the two breads. And then all of his mates just start calling it, "Oh, we're having a sandwich. We're gonna like it's don't like having a it. having a sandu, you know, having a kedge. Where, you know, that's what that's how
that's like, having a Frankie, isn't that along the same sort of things? Yeah.
I don't know what Frankie. I've only just come to the world of Frankies as well, so that's the new thing for me. But yeah, I love that. I love the evolution of food like that. No, I'll be honest, your two were good ones today. Those are good. I like that.
Ooh. Yours was about
it just sets it up nicely for this weekend, because I'm gonna have to now pull out another great one for the Sunday live show.
Yeah, you put your great weather away, mate.
The Sunday live show, for people that don't know, is going down in Harrow. There might be tickets left by the time the podcast comes out. There might not. I think there's only about 20, 30 tickets left, something like that. So get on it. It's a lovely little studio room in Harrow Art Centre. Sunday night. What's the date on Sunday night? What is that?
The 25th, I believe.
Sunday is the 25th
of May. 25th of May. 2025.
6 p.m.
Okay, yeah, 6 o'clock. And then just, you know, we are doing a Bollywood Time Machine straight after it, which you're welcome to stay for as well. But I would rather all these brown loaders come to and listen to us. It's only a tenner. It's a tenner for about an hour and a half. It'll be the whole thing.
Bank holiday Sunday.
On a Sunday night, 6 o'clock. You can have a little lunch beforehand. I always think it works well. You're done by 7:30. Go home, have your carne asada. Happy days. Or stay on and watch the show. Have a few drinks and enjoy the whole evening. I'll be staying on for Bollywood Time Machine.
I think what you should do is come to the Brownlow podcast and then go to Time Machine, have a little night out there, and then come to where I'm DJing down the road. Because it's Sunday night. I'm DJing at Tomorrow Lounge at night.
Tomorrow
so,
Lounge is great.
Party's popping off.
And I think, Kedge, you like the paneer there. I feel like you've gone on about the paneer at Tomorrow Lounge. Is it Namaste Lounge?
No, Namaste Lounge. But it's similar.
Well, there you go, done. That's your Sunday evening. We'll be there. And by the way, on Monday, I go away. I'm going away on holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Just for 5-6 days again. I know, don't ask. So we're going to be another online one next week. But
no, I don't think it is, because we're going to put out Sunday next week.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, yeah, cool. So we've got the live one. Yeah,
we're
great.
Good.
Yeah,
we're good.
Oh, even better. I get to enjoy the holiday and not have to kind of wait on a laptop in a hotel resort somewhere, which is what I normally have to do. So it's perfect. So listen, Sunday night, let's do it in style, because that's my, like, for me, that's just that's holiday eve, you know. So I'm going for it. I'm having fun, and we'll have a laugh. We've done Dubai with Satch. The fact that all three of us are going to be together in Harrow, up the road from Kedge, his old stomping ground, all of his ex-girlfriends and boyfriends will be there from his boys' school.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be a reunion. You might even see, like, people that look like Kedge, and like, oh, these are your long-lost kids, Kedge, that you didn't know you had 20-odd years ago, and now they're all grown up to be reunited.
And to be fair, this is going out to all the people that, you know, when we do the one in London, because we always do it around sort of September time, people always say
King's
to us,
Place.
Oh, why don't you come to, like, us? Come to, like, you know, Wembley. Come to Harrow. Come to West London. We're in your area this time, so you ain't got to trek it into central London. We're on your doorstep. And we know that you're listening, Harrow. Trust me.
Yeah. Harrow to you. So we'll see you there. Sunday night, 25th. Tickets. Where do they get the tickets from, Satch?
Love Entertainment. That's Love with a U, L-U-V, entertainment.co.uk. Hit all events and then just scroll down to the 25th, Sunday 25th, and you'll see a banner of Tommy's Brownlow there.
It's also
a link on our Instagram profile as well.
There is,
perfect.
Yeah.
There you go. Loads of ways. Bio, you see the Brownlow Instagram, you'll see it there as well. It's going to be a fun night. We're going
to
have a laugh.
And you know what? To be fair, I was thinking about it. I don't think we're going to do another one until September, maybe, like in London, because we have the big one in September. So
we've got the big one coming up soon.
Come down if you're local.
And the summer's going to be very, very busy. Obviously, Satch, you're going to get into all your DJing and season.
Mate, I'm back this Thursday, this weekend. I'm just counting. I think I've got five events in 3 days or something like that.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, so it's going to be a crazy summer. Kedgy's going to be on balconies, dangling his bits and bots around with Jack's Climax. I'm doing shows all over the place. So, yeah, so let's do it. Let's have a little this is almost like, this marks the start of the summer in a way.
I think so.
End of May. Bank holiday weekend, let's go.
That's it.
You know, let's have it. So, okay, Sunday night, we'll see you there. Grab your tickets, please, before it's too late. Bring a double. And actually, you know, I'm going to say this, right? Because particularly if you're a lady listening, and I'll tell you why I said it, with a husband. because we get so many messages from guys who say to me, "Man, they love the podcast because it's like their boys. We're like their friends." And they miss the kind of chat and the banter that they can have, or maybe they don't get time to have. So this is really for those who might be kind of wanting a bit of that in their life, or who don't listen at the moment, or who you feel like maybe are going through a bit of a thing at the moment and kind of doing a bit of cheering up. I promise you, you will leave that room happier than when you came in. And that is virtually a guarantee, if I can be so bold as to say so. So honestly, come along. Let us change your mood. Let you see us do this live, and you'll see us how we actually do it. If you do listen all the time, Harrow, we can't wait to be there.
Also, I'm going to add, if you do want to come and you haven't got anyone to come with you, it's fine. Because we've noticed that there's a lot of people who just come on their own, and then they just start making friends in the crowd, because it is all one big happy family. So even if you come alone, no one's judging you. Come along. There's loads of people who did come on their own last time, and they just ended up making friends. So that is fine as well. Don't worry if you haven't got anyone to come with.
Yeah, Kedge comes on his own all the time. Anyway, we'll catch you lot next week. Until then, see you later.
Laters.
Laters.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's Product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.